Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing... Lux Radio Theatre. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theatre presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. This week we present Home and Beauty by W. Somerset Maugham, a comedy set in London immediately after the First World War. What happens when a young woman finds herself married to two men at the same time, both of whom she loves dearly? After her husband, Major Bill Cardew, has been reported killed in France, lovely, frivolous Victoria marries his best friend, Major Frederick Lowndes. Their domestic bliss is suddenly and hilariously disrupted by Bill's return from the dead. Victoria adores both her husbands, and they both adore her. But while the two men argue the toss in the most gentlemanly way, Victoria finds her own way of unraveling the matrimonial tangle. Listen in a few moments to Home and Beauty, adapted by Helen Cunningham, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Rolf Jacobs, and directed by Delphine Lethbridge.
Here's an idea that will make you feel soft and beautiful, and you can do it this evening. Just take a long, creamy bath with Lux Beauty Soap. Sink back and relax, and let the extra rich lather of Lux soften your skin to film star smoothness. Think of it, the creamy, moisturizing lather making your skin silky and relaxed. The precious perfume of Lux caressing you all over. Lux is the one beauty soap chosen by most beautiful Hollywood film stars. They choose it for its rich, moisturizing lather and precious perfume. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Shield gives the confidence that actually shows.
In your eyes.
Put on Shield deodorant and it's dry in seconds. That's the way it stays right through the day. Shield never makes you feel sticky. It just protects you and keeps you dry, feminine, fresh. Wear Shield and the only thing you show is confidence.
Shield gives the confidence that actually shows.
In your eyes. In your eyes.
And now, Act One of tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation, Home and Beauty.
Oh, Victoria, there's someone downstairs to see you.
Who is there?
Who? Mr. Lester Peyton. I didn't know you were still seeing anything of him.
He has been rather attentive lately.
No, you should have married him instead of Freddy when poor Bill was killed in France. Sure, he's made a fortune during the war. He's got a Rolls Royce. And he can wangle things like butter and sugar.
Mother, don't talk like that. Freddy was Bill's best friend. It's only natural I should turn to him for comfort. And I adore him. Oh, he's a little unreasonable at times, but then so was Bill. I adored him, too.
Okay.
And they both adored me.
All the same,
both so handsome. Oh, look at their photographs side by side on my dressing table.
Yes.
And both dear sirs. I flatter myself there aren't many women who'd be married to two dear sirs.
I know, darling, but...
Bill was very fond of Freddy, and particularly wanted our child to be called after him. And that's why I called him Frederick. Although he was born 3 months after poor Bill was killed.
I know. And that's why now you've married Freddy and had a son, you've
called him William. Yes, I thought it was only fair. And Freddy agreed.
By the way, where is Freddy?
Oh, dear, I'm absolutely furious with him. He promised to take me out to luncheon, but he never turned up. Didn't even telephone. I think it's too bad of him. He may be dead for all I know.
What about Mr. Peyton? Are you going to see him? I mean, you can't keep him waiting all afternoon.
Oh, I may as well. Go and bring him up, Mother.
Don't you receive him up here? In your bedroom?
Oh, certainly. It's the only room in the house apart from the nursery where there's a fire. You know how difficult it is to get coal. Oh, yes, we mustn't keep Mr. Peyton waiting. Just give me a moment to put on some fresh lipstick, will you? I hope you didn't mind being dragged up all these stairs, Mr. Peyton. We have to be frightfully economical with our coal, you know. I can only afford to have a fire in my bedroom.
You're not going to tell me that you have any trouble in getting coal. Why on earth didn't you let me know?
You don't mean to say you could get me some.
Well, it's quite out of the question that a pretty woman shouldn't have everything she wants.
I told Freddie that I felt sure he could wrangle it, but... Well, I mean, what's the use of being at the War Office if you can't have some sort of pull? But he couldn't.
Well, leave it to me. I'll see what I can do.
How marvelous of you.
Now that these men are coming back from the front, no one will look at us poor devils who stayed at home if we don't make ourselves useful.
Well, you only stayed because it was your duty.
Oh, I volunteered, you know. I didn't wait to be called up. But the government said to me, you're a shipbuilder, go on building ships. So I built them ships.
And a little bird has whispered to me that the government intends to show its appreciation of your services in the honors list.
Oh, one doesn't ask for that. One's glad to have been able to do one's bit.
Oh, how true that is. That's just what I feel.
Yes, Victoria's worked herself to exhaustion.
I don't know how many committees I sat on or bazaars I opened.
That's true.
At the beginning of the war, you know, I worked in a canteen, but I had to give that up because I could never go out to lunch anywhere. I did think of working in a hospital, but they said I had no training.
Oh, I'm sure you would have made a very good nurse, dear.
I didn't propose being the ordinary sort of nurse. I was quite content to leave that to those who had to make their living by it. But it doesn't need any particular training to be nice to those poor, dear, wounded boys, to shake up their pillows and take them flowers and read to them. It only needs sympathy.
I don't know anyone who has more.
With people I like.
Well, darling, I think I'll go and see how my precious little grandsons are.
Oh, yes, Mother, do. Nanny's taken Fred out, but baby's in the nursery.
Excuse me, Mr. Peyton.
Yes, of course. You have two children, haven't you, Mrs. Lyons?
Yes, two sons. Fred, who'll be two next month by my first husband, Bill Cardew, and William, who's just 4 months by my second husband.
I'm sure you're a wonderful mother.
Oh, I adore my children.
And a perfect wife.
Do you think so?
Doesn't your husband?
Oh, he's only my husband. His opinion doesn't count.
He's a lucky man. I envy him.
Do you?
Shall I tell you what I think of you, Mrs. Lyons?
Oh, no, don't. You'll only exaggerate. You know, there are only two qualities that I flatter myself on. I'm not vain, and I am unselfish. Oh, here's my husband now.
Good afternoon,
Peyton. Oh, good afternoon, Major Lyons.
Freddy, where have you been all this time?
At my club.
But you promised to take me out to luncheon.
Did I? No, I forgot all about it. I'm so sorry.
Were you busy?
Yes.
Well, Bill was never too busy to give me luncheon when I wanted it.
Well, fancy that.
Well, I'd be getting along. Now the war's over, you fellows can take things easily. My work goes on just the same.
That's a new car you've got, isn't it?
I have to get about somehow, you know.
So do I, but being only a soldier, I manage it on my own 2 feet.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Lyons, and goodbye, Major.
Goodbye. So nice of you to come and see me. Now, Freddy, I'd be glad to know why you threw me over like that.
Are you obliged to receive visitors in your bedroom?
Oh, you don't mean to say you're jealous, darling. I thought you seemed grumpy. Come and give me a nice kiss,
I'm not in the least jealous.
Oh, you silly old thing. You know it's the only room in the house that's got a fire.
Why the dickens don't you have one in the drawing room?
My poor lamb, have you forgotten there's been a war and there happens to be a shortage of coal? I'll tell you exactly why we don't have a fire in the drawing room. Patriotism.
Well, I'm dashed if I can see why it'd be less patriotic to have a fire in the drawing room where we could all benefit from it, rather than here where it's no good to anyone but you.
Darling, you're not going to ask me to do without a fire in my bedroom. How can you be so selfish? Heaven knows I don't want to boast about anything I've done, but after slaving my life out these last 4 years, I do think I deserve a little consideration.
I'll go and see the kid.
As long as if I grudged you the use of my room, you can sit here as much as you like. Besides, a man has his club. He can always go there if he wants to.
I apologize. You're quite right. You're always right.
I thought you wanted me to be happy.
But I do, darling.
Before we were married, you said you'd make that the chief aim of your life.
I can't imagine a sensible man would want a better one.
Well, then, confess you've been a beast.
A brute beast, darling.
No. I asked you to give me a kiss just now. Well, it's not a request I'm in the habit of having ignored.
And I trust it's not one that you're in the habit of making to all and sundry.
Now, tell me why you forgot to take me out to luncheon today.
I didn't forget. I was prevented. I haven't had luncheon myself. I'll just ring and ask the cook to send me up something.
Oh, the cook left this morning.
Again?
What do you mean, again? This is the first time she's left.
Well, hang it all, she's only been here a week. I don't know why on earth you can't keep your servant.
No one can keep servants these days.
Other people do.
Don't speak to me like that, Freddy. I'm not used to it.
I shall speak to you exactly as I choose.
It's so petty to lose your temper just because you can't have something to eat. I should have thought after spending 2 years in the trenches, you'd be accustomed to going without a meal now and then.
Oh, for goodness sake, don't make a scene of it.
But I who am making a scene? I don't know how you can be so unkind to me. Bill would never treat me like that.
But I can't imagine how you can...
I'm not exacting. I do everything I can to make you happy. I'm patience itself. Even my worst enemy would have to admit that I'm not selfish.
Victoria, now please, all I want...
Bill wouldn't have taken my poor loving heart and thrown it aside like an old hat. Bill loved me. He would always have loved me. Oh, I adored that man. He waited on me hand and foot. I'd give anything in the world to have my dear, dear Bill back again.
Well, I'm very glad you feel like that about it, because he'll be here in about 3 minutes.
What? What on earth do you mean?
He rang me up at the club this morning.
Teddy, what are you talking about? Who spoke to you?
Bill.
Bill? Oh, Bill who?
Bill Cardew.
He's dead, poor darling.
Well, he showed no sign of it on the telephone.
Oh, Freddie, how can you be so heartless to joke like...
Well, just wait and see for yourself.
Oh, now, Freddie, please, don't be vindictive. I didn't mean what I said. I adore you, darling, you know that. You can have a fire in your study, and to the devil with a fuel controller. I'm sorry for all I said just now. There now, it's all right, isn't it?
Yes, perfectly. But it's not going to prevent Bill from walking into this room in about 2 minutes.
It's not true. It can't be. Poor Bill was killed at the Battle of Ypres. He was actually seen to fall. He was reported dead by the War Office. Oh, you know how distressed I was. I wore mourning and everything. We even had a memorial service.
Yes, I know. It'll want a devil of a lot of explaining turning up like this.
Well, I shall go stark staring mad in a minute. How do you know it was Bill on the telephone?
I recognize his voice.
What did he say exactly?
He said he was at Harwich Station and would be in London at 3:13, and would I break it to you?
But that was before luncheon. Why didn't you come at once and tell me?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was a bit shaken by then. I thought the first thing was to have a double whiskey and a small soda.
And what did you do then?
I sat down to think. And I thought steadily for a couple of hours.
And what have you thought?
Nothing. It's a devilish awkward position for me.
For you? And what about me?
I mean, after all, Bill was my eldest pal. He may think it rather funny that I've married his wife.
May think? Do you mean you haven't told him?
No.
He's coming here under the impression that I'm his wife?
Yes.
But why on earth didn't you tell him at once? It was the only thing to do.
Well, it just didn't strike me at the moment. Besides, it's rather a delicate thing to say on the telephone.
Well, someone must tell him.
I've come to the conclusion that you're the person to do it.
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to deal my darling Bill this bitter, bitter blow. Anyway, it's not my province.
Now, darling, you've got so much tact. I never knew anyone who could deal with a delicate situation as you can. You're so sympathetic, and you've got such a wonderful tenderness.
No, no, no. There's only one way to deal with this. You just take him by the arm and you say, "Look here, old man, the fact
it's
is..."
It's no good, Victoria. My George, there he is.
Oh, no, I haven't even powdered my nose. Fortunately, I have no personal vanity. Oh, where's that powder puff? Where's my lipstick?
Hello, hello, hello. Well, here we are again.
Bill!
Well,
was I right?
I can hardly believe my eyes.
Now, give me a kiss, old lady. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, Freddy, old man, how's life?
A1, thanks.
Are you surprised to see me?
A little.
In fact, a good deal.
You've neither of you said you were glad to see me.
Yes, of course we're glad, Bill, darling. Yes.
Tactful of me to get old Freddy to come round and break the news, don't you think, Victoria?
Yes, darling. And exactly like you.
Ah, it's just like old times to hear you calling me darling every other minute.
It's one of Victoria's favorite words.
You know, I nearly didn't warn you. I thought it would be rather a lark to break in on you in the middle of the night.
You what? I'm just as glad you didn't do that, Bill.
What a scene, my word. The Sleeping Beauty on her virtuous couch. Enter a man. Shrieks from the Sleeping Beauty. It is I, your husband. Tableau.
Oh, he really is a little lamb, Victoria. I just... Who's that?
Who the devil do you think it is?
The language. And the voice. Bill Cardew's. Who is this man?
Well, I may be a bit thinner.
No, don't you come near me or I shall scream.
Well, I was only going to kiss
you. Oh, take him away. Victoria, who is that man?
Well, Mrs. Shuttleworth, it's Bill Cardew.
But he's dead.
He doesn't seem to know it.
Oh, it's a horrible dream. Of course he's dead. That man's an imposter.
Shall I show you the strawberry mark on my left shoulder?
I tell you, Bill Cardew's dead.
Prove it.
Prove it? The War Office announced it officially. Victoria went into mourning. Why, we had a memorial service.
Fully choral.
Yes.
Did you have a memorial service for me, Victoria? Oh, that was nice of you.
I say, old man, we don't want to hurry you, you know, but we're all waiting for some sort of explanation.
Well, I was coming to that. I was just giving you time to get over your first raptures at seeing me again. Well, have you got over them?
I can only speak for myself.
I was wounded at Ypres. Badly wounded.
Yes, the fellow saw you fall. Said you were shot through the head. Just stopped a minute and saw you were killed and went on.
Well, I wasn't. I was eventually picked up and taken to Germany. Next thing I knew, I was in hospital. And my memory had completely gone.
Very strange.
But your memory came back?
Yes, gradually. It only returned fully shortly before we were released.
So couldn't you have written then?
They said I'd arrived before a letter or even a telegram.
Well, I suppose it is possible.
Well, I'm not dead, as you can see. And what's more, I propose to live for another 40 years, if not 50. Now, I wouldn't mind getting out of these dirty clothes and into something decent. I'll just go through to my dressing room. I remember I had a blue serge suit that was rather dressy.
Oh, wait a moment. I've put all your clothes away.
Where?
In camphor. You can't put them on until they've been well aired.
Oh, well, I suppose I can... I say, is that the kid? What's his name?
Don't you remember just before you went away, you said you'd like him called Frederick if he was a boy?
Yes, I did. But you said you'd made up your mind to call him Lancelot.
Yes, well, when I thought you were dead, I felt I must respect your wishes. Of course, I asked Freddy to be godfather.
Has the old ruffian been a standby to you while I've been away?
I have seen a good deal of him, yes.
I felt you were safe with him, you know. He's a brick.
I say, spare my blushes.
He was very kind to me during my bereavement.
Dear old chap, I knew you were a tower of strength.
I did what I could, you know.
Oh, don't be so modest about it all. Well, I'm going along to the nursery to make his lordship's acquaintance.
Oh, something's got to be done.
Yes, but what? Oh, Freddy, think of something.
I don't know what to do.
Well, you've got to do something, even if it's only something stupid.
The only thing that occurs to me is to stand on my head.
Hey, Victoria. Victoria, I think we've been done.
Oh, dear.
That child. Upon my soul, there's not much of him for a two-year-old.
That baby, he was 4 months last Tuesday.
4 months? You've been busy in my absence, Victoria.
Freddy, for goodness sake, explain. Don't just stand there with your mouth open.
The fact is, you've made a rather absurd mistake, Bill. You've been away so long that naturally there's a good deal you don't know.
Such as?
Well, that infant you saw isn't your son.
I had a sort of suspicion that he wasn't.
Oh, the fool, the fool.
Well, who the deuce is the father?
Well, in point of fact, I am.
You? You don't mean to say you're married.
Yes, yes. Lots of people are. In fact, marriage has been quite a thing during the war.
Well, I'm jolly glad to hear it, old man. I knew you'd be caught one of these days. You were a wily old bird, but... Oh, well, we all come to it. My very best congratulations.
Thanks, that's awfully good of you. I'm staying here, you know.
Oh, are you? First rate. Is your missus here, too?
It's rather difficult to explain.
Oh... Don't tell me she's only got one eye.
Look, can't you guess why I'm staying here?
No. You don't mean you've married Victoria's mother?
Oh, good question.
Well, no, not exactly.
What do you mean by not exactly? I hope you hadn't been trifling with the affections of my mother-in-law.
Oh, do I look as if I were the mother of that baby?
We live in an age of progress. One should keep an open eye about things.
You misunderstand me, Bill.
Is there nothing between you and Victoria's mother?
Certainly not.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I should have liked to be your son-in-law. And you would have done the right thing by her, wouldn't you?
Really, Bill? I don't think you ought to talk like that about Mother.
If he's compromised her, he ought to marry her.
He hasn't compromised her, and he can't marry her.
Well, I don't want to be inquisitive, but if you didn't marry Victoria's mother, who did you marry?
Confound you, I married Victoria!
It's hello to Mrs. Felicity Usher. Name is Flick. Hello, Flick.
Hello, Mr. John.
Tell me, Flick, what's the biggest wash day challenge that you could possibly imagine?
My son's white shirts. Quite honestly, I think he's the dirtiest boy in the school.
Really? Now, if I gave you a challenge, just one chance to get these dirty white shirts of your son's perfectly white again, how would you do it?
I'd use surf, because surf contains super glue. I think it's most important that white clothes should be white and not grey and grubby looking. And to look smart, they must be white.
Obviously, whiteness is very important to you.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, like Flick, most housewives I've challenged trust the experienced one, surf with super glue for perfect whiteness.
Gosh, Mary, you're lucky to have such a hard-working servant. What do you mean? I haven't got a maid.
Well, how on earth do you manage to keep your floors so clean and shiny?
Ah, that's easy. I use Dual.
Dual?
Yes, Dual, the self-shining floor cleaner. It's so easy because Dual cleans and polishes in one go.
How do you mean?
Well, Dual lifts all the dirt out of the floor and dries to a bright, long-lasting shine, all by itself.
So when you use Dual, you don't have to worry about polishing?
No, Dual cleans and polishes in one go.
Oh, Mr. Pym, I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting in this chilly drawing room, but I'm still dressing. You're very kind to have come so soon.
What a catastrophe. You must be beside yourself. What in heaven's name are you going to do?
I've no idea. That's why I telephoned you. You have encouraged me to bring all my difficulties to you.
Yes, of course, yes. We must discuss the matter. I suppose you've been having the most terrible scene.
Oh, heartrending. You see, they both adore me.
And you?
Ah. Oh, I only want to do my duty.
How like you. How exactly like you.
It was so sweet of you to come and see me at once. I was afraid you wouldn't have time.
Do you think I'd allow anything to stand in the way when you sent for me?
Oh, but I shouldn't like to think that you were putting yourself out on my account.
I wish I could pretend I were. As a matter of fact, I was only going down to see a place I've just bought in the country, and as I wanted to try my new rolls, I thought I'd kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, I didn't know you were buying a place.
Oh, it's a very modest little affair. The park is not more than 300 acres, and there are only 15 bedrooms. But you see, I'm a bachelor. I want so little.
Where is it?
Oh, it's near Newmarket. A man in my position is bound to do something for the good of the country, and it seems to me that to patronize a good old English sport which gives employment to numbers of respectable men is an occupation which is truly patriotic. I'm going to take up racing.
Oh, I think it's splendid of you. So many men waste their money on their own selfish pleasures. It's such a relief to come across anyone who's determined to make thoroughly good use of it. I've often wondered why you didn't go into Parliament.
For the past 4 years, I've been too busy winning the war to bother about governing the nation.
Yes, yes, but now they want strong men of keen intelligence and dominating personality.
It's possible that very soon I shall have the opportunity to show what sort of metal I'm made of, but not in the House of Commons.
In the House of Lords.
You mustn't ask me to betray the confidence of the Prime Minister.
Oh, you look splendid in scarlet, Norman.
But it's too bad of me to talk about my own concerns when yours are so much more important.
Oh, but you don't know how I love to hear you talk about yourself. One feels a brain behind every word you speak.
It's easy to be brilliant when one has a sympathetic listener.
Of course, Bill and Freddie are darlings, but their conversation is a little limited. During the war, you know, it was rather smart to talk about guns and flying machines and flea bags, but now...
I understand so well, dear lady.
Why do you call me that?
Well, out of pure embarrassment. I don't know whether to call you Mrs. Cardew or Mrs. Lowndes.
Well, why don't you split the difference and call me Victoria?
May I?
It'll make me feel that you're not an entire stranger. Oh, and I need a friend badly. I'm all at sea. I'm married to two men, and I feel as if I were married to neither.
I wish you weren't. I wish with all my heart you weren't.
Why?
Can't you guess?
Oh, I must be very stupid.
Don't you know that I dote on you? I curse my unhappy fate that I didn't meet you before you were married.
Would you have asked me to marry you?
Morning, noon, and night, until you consented.
Oh. Well, I never want a Paris model so much as when I know it's been sold to somebody else. I wonder if you'd want to marry me if I were free.
Yes, with all my heart.
But I'm not free.
And you, if you were, would you marry me?
I don't believe you're the sort of man who'd ever take no for an answer.
You're perfectly adorable.
I wonder if you'd take me out to luncheon.
Give me a chance.
Then come back in half an hour, and you'll find me ready.
Victoria! Oh, you're in here, Freddy. Why the devil have you left the window open? It's freezing.
I was trying to warm the room up a bit. Besides, they say it's healthy.
Well, a short life and a merry one for me. I like a fire.
Well, that won't make it any warmer. I tried that.
You silly ass. Oh, why didn't you light the fire?
But don't be so darn unpatriotic. You can't have a fire in the drawing room. Victoria must have one in her bedroom so that I...
Where the devil did you get that suit? Rather saucy. I flatter myself. Victoria sent it in for me.
Well, she needn't have sent you the only new suit I've had since the war. I think that's a bit thick.
Well, I couldn't go round in the dirty old thing I arrived in.
Well, if you'd had the decency to ask me, you might have had the suit I got on.
Oh, thanks, but I don't altogether like that one. It's a bit baggy at the knees.
You're very much mistaken if you think you're going to wear all the new clothes and I'm going to wear all the old ones.
If you're going to be shirty about it, where the devil did you get that type in?
Hmm?
Victoria gave it to me on my birthday.
Yeah, well, it's mine. She gave it to me on my birthday first. And where did you get those cufflinks?
Those? Victoria gave them to me as a Christmas present.
No, did she? Well, she gave them to me as a Christmas present before she gave them to you. You jolly well take them off.
I'll see you blowed first. At your death, you left everything to her in your will. If she told you to give them to me, it's no business of yours.
Well, I'm not going to argue about it, but I think it's dash bad form to swank about in a dead man's jewelry.
By the way, did you ever have a hammered gold cigarette case?
Rather. That was Victoria's wedding present to me. Did you get it too?
Thrifty woman, Victoria.
I say, unless I have a fire, I shall turn into the Albert Memorial.
Well, it's all late. Apply a match and see what happens.
I think I will.
Here are some matches.
Oh, thanks.
There. But now I can take my overcoat off. You know, Victoria will be furious.
Well, that's your lookout. You'll have to take the responsibility.
Me? But it's nothing to do with me. You're the master of this house.
Not at all. I am but an honored guest.
Oh, no. The moment you appeared, I sank into insignificance.
My dear fellow, where did I sleep last night? In the spare bedroom. That proves conclusively that I'm a guest and nothing more.
Nonsense. Where the devil do you think I slept? Down here.
Oh, why on earth did you do that? You were perfectly sober when I went to bed.
Victoria said I couldn't sleep in the next room to hers now that you were back.
Oh, well, I dare say you made yourself very comfortable on the sofa.
Look at the darn thing.
By the way, why has all the furniture been changed?
Well, Victoria had the room redecorated after you were killed. It had too many old associations. She wanted to distract her mind.
Oh, I was under the impression that you'd undertaken that.
I was sympathetic. That is surely what you'd have liked me to be.
Of course. I'm not blaming you.
If you'd seen Victoria in tears, you couldn't have expected a man not to try and console her.
She's the only woman I ever knew who looks as pretty when she cries as when she smiles. It's a great power.
There. I knew you'd take it like a sensible man.
Quite so.
When would you like me to clear out?
My dear fellow, why should you want to do that? Surely you don't for a minute imagine that I shall be in the way. I propose to make my visit quite a brief one.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Victoria will be very disappointed. But of course, that's no concern of mine. You and your wife must arrange that between you.
My dear fellow, you quite misunderstand me. I am not a man to come between husband and wife.
What the devil do you mean?
Well, if it comes to that, what the devil do you mean?
Good morning, Bill, dear.
Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning, Freddie.
Good morning, Victoria.
I went to Bill first because he's been away so long.
Very naturally. And he was your husband long before I was.
I don't want either of you to be jealous of the other. Who lit that fire?
He did.
It was his match.
Of course, you don't care if we run so short of coal that my wretched babies die of double pneumonia. It's simply criminal to use coal in here.
I'm tortured by the pangs of remorse. But if you feel so badly about it, need you get quite so close to the fire?
Well, if there is a fire, I may as well get some benefit from it. Now, as I was saying, I don't want any jealousy. I adore you both, and I'm not going to show any favoritism.
It's quite all right, Victoria. I know quite well that I only came second in your heart. As long as Bill was around, you never had a thought for me.
Oh, I don't know about that. Even the most constant woman likes a change now and then.
No, no. I know Victoria has a faithful heart. She can never really love any man but you, Bill. Victoria, you know how I adore you. You're the only woman in the world for me. But Bill has come back. And therefore, there's only one course open to me as a gentleman and a man of honor. It's a bitter, bitter sacrifice, but I'm equal to it. I renounce all rights in you. I will go away, a wiser and a sadder man, leave you to Bill. Goodbye, Victoria. Give me one more kiss before we part forever.
Oh, how beautiful of you, Freddy. What a soul you've got.
Goodbye, Victoria. Forget me and live happily with a better man than I.
I shall never forget you, Freddy. Goodbye. Go quickly now. I shall break down.
Goodbye, Bill. Bill, be kind to her. I couldn't do this for anyone but you.
Nothing doing.
What do you mean? Get away from that door and let me pass.
Only over my dead body.
Bill, why prolong a painful scene?
My dear Victoria, I am not the man to accept a sacrifice like that. No, I'll not come between you.
Oh, Bill, how noble.
Victoria, I'm a gentleman and a soldier. To all intents and purposes, I'm as dead as mutton. I'll remain so.
Victoria will never be happy with me now that you've come back.
Not another word. She's yours.
I understand it all. You're both so noble, so heroic, so unselfish. But I can't have you both. I must have a husband, but only one. I cannot have and will not have two.
Wait, I have an idea. Let's draw lots.
How do you mean, Freddy?
Well, we'll take two pieces of paper and make a cross on one of them. Then we'll fold them up and put them in a hat. We'll draw, and the one who draws the cross gets Victoria.
Oh, that'll be rather thrilling.
No, I'd sooner toss for it. I'm luckier tossing.
You mean to say you funk it?
Well, I don't exactly funk it. It's an awful risk to take.
Oh, it'd be so romantic. Come on, get some paper, Freddy.
Yes, yes, all right.
No, I don't like it. This isn't my lucky day. I saw the new moon through glass. I knew something was going wrong the moment I opened my eyes this morning.
There. Now, whoever draws the blank paper renounces all claim to Victoria. He vanishes from the scene like a puff of smoke. He'll never be heard of again.
I still don't like it. I repeat that I only do it under protest.
Now, Bill, don't be disagreeable the moment you come home.
We'll have plenty of time for that during the next 40 years.
Well, you seem rather above yourself, Freddy. Supposing you draw the blank.
I saw a dappled horse this morning. Well, the pieces of paper are ready. What shall we put them in?
Well, here's the waste paper basket. That's the best thing.
Right. Now, you do understand. One of these papers has a cross on it. I will put the two papers in the basket. There we are. And now Victoria shall hold it. It's agreed that whoever draws a blank shall leave the house at once.
Yes.
Right. Here you are, Victoria.
Now yes. Shake them well.
All right. I say, isn't this thrilling?
Now, you draw first, Bill.
No, I can't. I really can't.
But it's your right. You're Victoria's first husband.
Oh, he's right there, Bill. You must have the first dip in the lucky bag. Oh, come on.
This is awful. I'm sweating like a pig.
Carriage, old man, carriage.
No good. I can't.
Oh, I can see how much you love me, Bill.
Shut your eyes, man, and make a plunge for it.
Oh, well, the only thing is to get it over. I wish I'd been a better man.
Now, the other's yours, Freddy. Come on, take it.
Thank you. Blank. It's blank. Blank.
Oh, I haven't opened mine yet. Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my poor Freddy.
Don't pity me, Victoria. I want all my courage now. I've lost you, and I must bid you goodbye forever.
Oh, Freddy, this is too awful. You must come and see me sometime.
No, I couldn't. That's more than I could bear. I shall never forget you. You're the only woman I have ever loved. Give me one last kiss, Victoria. Goodbye.
Before you go, you might just let me have a look at that other piece of paper, the one with the blank on it.
Huh? Why do you want to see it?
Just curiosity.
Now, really, Bill, I don't know how you can be so heartless, giving way to curiosity when my heart is breaking. Anyway, I threw it on the fire.
Oh, no, you didn't. You put it in your pocket.
I've had enough of this. Can't you see that I'm a desperate man?
Not half so desperate as I am. If you don't give me that piece of paper quietly, I'll take it from you.
Go to blazes.
Come on, give it up.
What is the matter? Have you both gone mad?
I'll make you.
Here, don't you touch me.
Now, will you give it up?
Let go of my arm. You're twisting.
Yes, and I'll break it if you don't give me that paper.
Ow, you devil. Stop it. All right, you can have it.
That's better. Hand it over now.
There you are. I don't know how you can call yourself a gentleman.
You dirty dog.
What's the matter?
Well, look at that.
It's got a cross on it.
They both had crosses on them.
I don't understand.
Don't you? He was making quite sure that I shouldn't draw a blank.
What?
I did it for your sake, Victoria. I knew that your heart was set on Bill. Only you couldn't bear to hurt my feelings. So I thought I'd make it easier for you.
Oh, that is just like you, Freddy. You have such a charming nature.
It almost brings tears to my eyes.
Oh, now that's the baby. I must go and see where Nanny is. Now don't say anything important till I get back.
How did you guess?
You were so devilish calm about it.
That was the calm of despair.
One might almost think you didn't want Victoria.
Bill, old chap, you know I'm not the sort of man to say a word against my wife.
Nor am I the sort of man to listen to a word against mine.
But hang it all. If a fellow can't discuss his wife dispassionately with her first husband, who can he discuss her with?
I can't imagine, unless it's with her second.
Tell me what you really think of Victoria.
The sweetest little woman in the world.
No man could want a better wife.
She's pretty.
Charming.
Delightful.
I confess that sometimes I thought it hard that when I wanted a thing it was selfishness, and when she wanted it was only her due.
I did sometimes wish I could call my soul my own.
The fact is, I'm not worthy of her, Bill. As you so justly said, no man could want a better wife.
No, no, you said that.
But I'm fed up. If you'd been dead, I'd have seen it through like a gentleman, but you've turned up. So now it's over to you.
No, no, no. Look here, there's only one thing to do. She must choose between us.
I'd rather toss for it.
I'm not going to risk anything like that. I've had enough of your hanky-panky.
I thought I was dealing with a gentleman.
Here she's coming up.
Oh, Reddy, this is too much. Nanny's given notice.
What?
So I've telephoned Mother to come and fetch the children.
Well, that's all right, then.
No, all the other servants are leaving, too, right now.
Oh, well, that's a bit thick, I must say.
Oh, I've done everything in the world for them. And now to walk out like this. They're following the example of that wretched cook, of course.
Oh, well, Freddy and I will do the housework and cooking until you get some more. But there's one thing, Victoria.
Yes?
Well, we've decided there's only one thing to be done. You must choose between us.
Oh, how can I? I adore you both. Besides, there's nothing to choose between you. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
No, you must decide. Now, take a good look at us, Victoria, and say which of us fits to be.
To tell you the truth, I don't see why it should be either.
What? Hang it all, it must be one or the other.
I think no one can deny that since the day I married you, I've sacrificed myself in every mortal way. I've worked myself to the bone to make you comfortable. Very few men have had such a wife as I've been to both of you. But one must think of oneself sometimes.
How true.
Well, the war's over now. And I think I've done my bit. I've married two dear souls. Now I want to marry a Rolls Royce.
But I thought you adored us.
Well, you see, I adore you both. It's six of one and half a dozen of the other. And the result is...
A washout. Hang it all. I think it's a bit thick. Do you mean to say that you fixed up to marry somebody else behind our back?
Oh, you know I wouldn't do a thing like that, Freddy.
Well, I don't get it.
My dear Freddy, have you ever studied the domestic habits of the unicorn?
We're afraid our education was very much neglected.
The unicorn is a shy and somewhat timid creature. And it's impossible to catch him with the snares of the hunter. But he's strangely impressionable to the charms of the fair sex. When he hears the frou-frou of a silk petticoat, he forgets his native caution. In short, a pretty woman can lead him by the horn.
Oh, Victoria, dear, I've come for the children. Oh, and Mr. Clayton is downstairs.
Did he come in a Rolls Royce?
Why, yes.
I'll come down at once. The unicorn's going to take me out to luncheon.
New Skip is the best powder for automatic washing machines. Ask any manufacturer about Skip's low-lather formula and how it works with his machine to give the best results. And ask any housewife about Skip's great new whitening power.
It's true. My machine manufacturer recommended New Skip, so I tried it. And it's fantastic. New Skip has oxygen whiteners and gets my whites really white. And Skip is great for colors, too. Whichever program I use on my automatic washing machine, Skip gives me wonderful results.
Yes, Skip is best for your clothes and your machine. That's why it's recommended by all 16 top manufacturers of automatic washing machines.
Close-up toothpaste is for close-up.
Close-up when you kiss me. Close-up when you touch me. Close-up when your smile is mine.
When you're close to people, really close, you need new close-up toothpaste. Clear red or clear green mint. Two whiteners clean your teeth their whitest white. A real mouthwash gives you fresh breath. Close-up, it gets breath as fresh as possible and teeth as white as possible.
Close-up when you kiss me. Close-up when you touch me.
I say, these coals weigh about a ton. You might carry them up to the drawing room.
I might, but I'm not going to. It isn't my work. I'm doing the cooking. You really can't expect me to do the housework as well.
Are you doing the cooking? Looking around this kitchen, I don't see any sign of it. There's a lot of dirty dishes. I don't see why I've got to sweat my life out.
You see, you have no organization. Housework's perfectly simple, only one must have organization. I have.
That's my secret.
I was a mug to say I do the housework. I might have known you'd freeze onto a soft job if there was one.
I naturally undertook to do what I could do best. Cooking is an art. Any fool can do housework. Now just look nippy and get the table laid while I see to the potatoes.
Is it luncheon or dinner?
Well, I don't know yet, but we're having it down here in the kitchen because it's easier for dishing up. Organization again.
What does Victoria say to that?
Well, I haven't told her yet.
She's in an awful temper this morning.
Oh, why?
Well, because the water in the bathroom wasn't hot.
Wasn't it?
You know very well it wasn't. You were too lazy to get up in time. So much for your organization.
What do you mean?
Well, ever since I've been at the War Office, I've heard fellows talking about organization, but I never could find anyone to tell me just what it was. It's beginning to dawn on me now.
Well, what is it?
Organization means getting someone else to do your job for you if you can. And if you can't, letting it rip.
I really think it's too bad of you two. I've been ringing the bell for the last quarter of an hour. There are two men in the house, and neither of you pay the least attention.
We were having an argument.
Yes. Let me put it before you, Victoria.
It has nothing to do with Victoria. I'm the cook, and I won't have anyone come interfering with my kitchen.
You must do something, Victoria, or you'll get no luncheon.
I shan't be here for luncheon.
Why not?
Because Mr. Lester Peyton has made me an offer of marriage, and I have accepted it.
But you've got two husbands already, Victoria. No, who's that?
That's my solicitor.
Who, what?
I told him to come at once. I'll go and open the door, Freddie, will you?
What the dickens does he want?
He's going to fix up my divorce.
You're not letting the grass grow under your feet, are you?
Hurry and answer the door, darling.
All right. I was just taking my apron off.
Which is a desperate step you're taking, Victoria.
Well, I had to do something. You must see that the present situation is absolutely impossible.
Well, if you've quite made up your mind to divorce me, I can almost look upon you as another man's wife.
What do you mean by that?
Only that I can make love to you without feeling a thundering ass.
Oh, careful, they're coming. It would never do for my solicitor to find me in my husband's arms.
It would be outrageous.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Raham?
How do you do?
Do you know my husband?
I'm pleased to meet you, gentlemen. I dare say it will facilitate matters if I am told which of you is which and which is the other.
Well, this is Major Cardew, my first husband, and this is my second husband, Major Lawton.
Oh, that makes it quite clear.
How do you do?
How do you do, Major? How do you do, Major? Interesting coincidence. Both majors.
I suppose Mrs. Lowndes has put you in possession of the facts, Mr. Raham.
I think so. We had a long talk in my office yesterday. She is determined to divorce you both. I told her that this is not necessary, since she is obviously the wife of only one of you.
It's just as well to take no risks.
But do I understand that you two gentlemen are agreeable?
Speaking for myself, I'm prepared to sacrifice my feelings, deep as they are, to the happiness of Victoria.
Very nicely and feelingly put. And you, sir, will you give this lady the freedom she desires?
Yes, of course. Certainly.
Well, so far so good. Now, it will save time and trouble if we get up the case against both of you in the same way. Since neither of you will defend the case, there is no need for you to go to the expense of legal advice. And so I propose to go into the whole matter with you now.
You can feel quite easy about taking Mr. Raham's advice. He's arranged more divorce cases than any man in England.
You must be a very busy man.
I assure you, Major, I'm one of the busiest men in London. Well, I will come to the point. In this country, if a couple, for reasons which merely concern themselves, wish to part company, a husband needs only to prove adultery to divorce his wife. But the English law recognizes the natural polygamy of man, and so when a wife desires to divorce a husband, she must prove, in addition, cruelty or desertion. Now, do you wish the cause of offense to be cruelty or desertion?
Well, personally, I should prefer desertion.
Certainly. I should very much dislike being cruel to Victoria.
And you know, I could never hurt a fly.
Well, then you'll settle on desertion. I think myself it is the more gentlemanly way, and besides, it is more easily proved. I will arrange it all by means of letters. An application for the restitution of conjugal rights will be made, and then 6 months later, we shall bring an action for divorce.
6 months later? But when will I be free, then?
In about a year.
Oh, but that won't do at all. I must have my freedom by, well, before the racing season ends at all events.
Oh, as soon as that?
Well, the Derby, if possible. Certainly by the 2,000 guineas.
Yes. In that case, it will have to be cruelty.
It can't be helped. They'll have to be cruel.
I don't like the idea, Victoria.
Try and be a little unselfish for once, darling.
I'd never strike a woman.
If I don't mind, I don't see why you should.
Cruelty has its advantages. If it's properly witnessed, it has a convincing air which desertion never has.
My mother will swear to anything.
Servants are better. The judges are often unduly suspicious of the mother-in-law's testimony. But you can leave it safely to me. I devised my own system and have never known it to fail. I always arrange for three definite acts of cruelty. First of the dinner table,
perhaps, and then... Perhaps we could leave the principle for the time being and go into the details later.
Very well. Let us pass to the last point. Trivial in itself, but essential in order to satisfy the requirements of our English law. Adultery.
That, I think, you can safely leave to us. With the price of a supper in my pocket and an engaging manner, I'm prepared to supply all the evidence you want.
I am shocked and horrified by your suggestion. Do you expect a man in my position to connive at immorality?
Immorality? Well, there must be, shall we say, a soupçon of it, under normal circumstances.
Not at all. I always arrange this part of the proceedings with the most scrupulous regard to propriety. I shall arrange for both of you to come to my office and meet a certain lady.
What's she like?
A most respectable person. I have employed her in practically all the fashionable divorces of the last 15 years.
You amaze me. Does she make money by it?
Oh, sufficient for her simple needs. She charges only 20 guineas for her services.
Well, I'm sure I could get it done for less.
And not by a woman of refinement.
Oh, well, with most of us, it's only once in a lifetime.
Well, I will proceed. You will fetch this lady at my office and drive with her to the Hotel Majestic, where you will register as husband and wife. You will be shown to a suite of rooms, which I shall engage for you, and supper will be served in the sitting room. You will partake of this, and you will drink champagne.
I should like to choose the brand myself.
I have no objection to that.
Thanks.
Then you will play cards. Miss Montmorency is a wonderful card player. She has not only an unparalleled knowledge of all games for two, but she can do a great number of tricks. In this way, you will find the night passed without tediousness, and in the morning, you will ring for breakfast.
Well, I'm not sure I'll have much appetite for it.
Sounds like the devil of a beano.
I should like to see her first.
Come to think of it, I'd like to see her, too. Men are so weak. I'd be much easier in my mind if I'm sure these poor boys won't be led astray.
Well, that's easily arranged. I have Miss Montmorency with me. She's waiting in a taxicab at the door.
Is she that sort of person I should like to meet, Mr. Ray?
Oh, a perfect lady. She comes from one of the best families in Shropshire.
Oh, well, go and fetch her, Freddy.
Very well.
Do you mean to say that with this evidence you'll be able to get a divorce?
No doubt of it. I've got hundreds.
Well, I'm only a soldier, and I dare say you'll not be surprised that I find it difficult to believe.
Brandy,
what's the matter?
Is this the way?
You'll soon see.
Come straight in, Miss Montmorency.
Make it a big one, and have one yourself, too.
Ah, Miss Montmorency.
But this is the kitchen.
Oh, I see what you mean. Let's have another.
I'm afraid it's the only room in the house that's habitable at the moment.
Yes, Miss Montmorency, Mrs. Frederick Lowndes.
I'm charmed to make your acquaintance. The injured wife, I presume?
Yes.
So sad. I'm afraid the war is responsible for the rupture of many happy marriages. I'm booked up for weeks ahead. So sad.
Do sit down, won't you?
Thank you. And now, which of these gentlemen is the erring husband?
Well, they both are.
Oh, really? And which are you going to marry after you've got your divorce?
Neither.
But I naturally concluded that one was the husband you are discarding, and the other the husband you are acquiring. The eternal triangle, you know.
In this case, the triangle is four-sided.
Oh, how very peculiar.
I don't want you to think I've been at all careless, but the fact is, through no fault of my own, they're both my husbands.
Oh, really? How very interesting. And which are you divorcing?
I'm divorcing them both.
Oh, I see. Oh, very sad. But I think I ought to tell you at once that I shouldn't like to misconduct myself. I use the technical expression, with both these gentlemen.
Oh, we shall be generous, Miss Montmorency.
I have to think of my self-respect. One gentleman is business, but two would be debauchery.
Mrs. Lowndes is anxious to put this matter through as quickly as possible.
Well, I dare say my friend, Mrs. Onslow Jarvis, would oblige if I asked her as a personal favor.
Oh, are you sure she can be trusted?
Oh, she's a perfect lady. The widow of a clergyman, and she has two sons in the army.
Unless we can get Miss Montmorency to reconsider her decision, I'm afraid we shall have to put up with Mrs. Onslow Jarvis.
I am adamant, Mr. Raham, adamant.
Well, I'm all for Mrs. Onslow Jarvis, personally.
Then you fall to me, Major, I didn't quite catch your name.
Cardew.
I hope you play cards.
Sometimes.
Oh, it's such a relief to find a gentleman who's fond of cards.
Otherwise, I suppose the night seems rather long.
Oh, not to me, you know. I'm such a student of human nature. But my gentlemen begin to grow a little restless when I've talked to them for 6 or 7 hours.
I can hardly believe it.
One gentleman actually said he wanted to go to bed. But of course I told him that would never do.
Forgive my asking. You know what men are. Do they never attempt to take liberties with you?
Oh, no. If you're a lady, you can always keep a man in his place.
I can assure you, Miss Montmorency, that you need have no fear that I shall take advantage of your delicate position.
Of course, you will divest yourself of none of your raiment.
On the contrary, I propose to put on an extra suit of clothes.
Oh, I'm sure we shall have a delightful night. And I know you, Major,
Lowndes.
I'm sure, Major Lowndes, you'll like Mrs. Onslow Jarvis. She has such charm of manner, so much ease. You can see that she did a lot of entertaining when her late husband was vicar at Clacton. They have a very nice class of person at Clacton.
Yes, I shall be charmed to meet her.
I don't know what Mr. Raham would say to our sharing a suite. We could play bridge. She's a very fine bridge player, and we only pay threepence a hundred because in her position she can hardly gamble, can she?
I always like to oblige Miss Montmorency, but I hardly think that arrangement would do. You know how fussy some judges are. We might hit on one of them who saw nothing in it.
Well, let's take no risks. Business is business. It must be you and me alone then, Major Cardew. You will let me know in good time when you fix the fatal night. I'm very booked up just now.
Of course, we'll do everything to suit your convenience, Miss Montmorency. And now, Mrs. Lowndes, as we've settled up everything, I think Miss Montmorency and I will go.
I can't think of anything else.
Goodbye, then. I am not going to say goodbye to you, Major Cardew, but au revoir.
Believe me, I look forward to our next meeting.
Good morning, Mrs. Lowndes, and good morning, Major Cardew.
Shall I show you to...
No, we shall find our own way out.
Goodbye.
Well... This is a bit of all right you've let us in for, Victoria.
Well, darling, it's the only thing I've ever asked you to do for me in all my life, so you needn't complain.
I'll bear it like a martyr.
The only thing left is for me to bid you goodbye.
Already?
You must understand, under the circumstances, it wouldn't be quite nice for me to stay here. Besides, without servants, it's beastly uncomfortable. I should go to Mother.
Oh, your mother?
Where else would you expect a woman to go in a crisis like this? And the children there already, so,
Won't you even stay for luncheon?
Lester will give me a better one, I think. In any case, I realize it's a painful moment for both of you, and we shan't make it any easier by dragging it out.
True.
Goodbye, Bill. I forgive you everything, and I hope we shall always be good friends.
Goodbye, Victoria. I hope this will not be, by any means, your last marriage.
When everything's settled, you must come and dine with us. I'm sure you'll find Lester has the best wines and cigars that money can buy.
Goodbye.
And now, Freddy, it's your turn. Now that there's nothing more between us, you might give me back that tie pin I gave you.
Here you are.
Thank you. And there was a cigarette case. You've no doubt got it in your pocket.
Take it.
Thank you. They say jewelry's gone up tremendously in value since the war. I'll give Lester a cigarette case as a wedding present.
You always do, Victoria.
Men like it. Goodbye, Freddy, dear. I'll always have a pleasant recollection of you.
Goodbye, Victoria. Would you like a taxi?
No, thanks. I'll walk. I think the exercise will do me good.
Wonderful woman. Yes, I shall never regret having been married to her. Now, what about lunch?
Annabella, if we could just have a turn to the left. That's enough. Now, smile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's just about it. Now, we'll move on to the interior shots, and that's it for the day.
International fashion model Annabella G is on location in southern France. Being a top model, you can imagine how Annabella cares for her complexion. She uses Lux Beauty Soap.
Lux is so creamy, so very soft. It cares for my complexion. I wouldn't use anything else.
Like Annabella G, like beautiful women everywhere, choose the creamy, moisturizing lather of Lux to care for your complexion. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
gosh, Mary, you're lucky to have such a hard-working servant.
What do you mean? I haven't got a maid.
Well, how on earth do you manage to keep your floors so clean and shiny?
Ah, that's easy. I use Dual.
Dual?
Yes, Dual, the self-shining floor cleaner. It's so easy because Dual cleans and polishes in one go.
How do you mean?
Well, Dual lifts all the dirt out of the floor and dries for a bright, long-lasting shine all by itself.
So when you use Dual, you don't have to worry about polishing?
No, Dual cleans and polishes in one go.
In tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation of Home and Beauty by W. Somerset Maugham, the part of Victoria was played by Margaret Milner Smythe, with Roger Service as Bill Cardew, her first husband, and Tony Wood as Freddie Lanz, her second husband. As her mother, you heard Sheila Raymond Jones. John Simpson played the part of Lester Patton, and Peter Lee Hunt that of Mr. Rayham, the lawyer. Miss Montmorency was played by Gillian Lomberg. Home and Beauty was adapted by Helen Cunningham, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Rolf Jacobs, and directed by Delphine Lethbridge.